thank you for tuning in again to the Equip Podcast. This is your host, Greg Hudson. We have another guest with us today, Jared Thurman. So, Jared, just tell us a little bit what you're doing. I know you're working at the Adventist Review. What is your role there, and maybe some other things? I know you are involved in a lot of different things in life.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, so I'm currently working with the Adventist Review. That started about a year ago, and it was after meeting Bill Knott, the editor. We struck up a friendship, began to share ideas, and then he said, hey, there are a few things I'd love your help on. Would you consider it? Mm-hmm. So that's involved some commuting each week from Atlanta up to Silver Spring.
Yeah, and so you live in Georgia and head up to the D.C. area.
That's right.
On a regular basis?
It's been pretty regular, okay. Yeah. So I'm grateful for my wife's support. But I really felt a calling to see things. You know, a lot of times, me being somebody I wasn't trained in the seminary, I have a passion for ministry. It's typically been in the business realm. Mm-hmm. So this was an opportunity where I felt like, hey, you know, if the Lord could use me to make some changes in administrative areas, I'd love to explore it. So it's been great.
Now, you just mentioned that that you're not a pastor, you're not seminary trained or anything. You're a businessman.
Yeah.
So, and yet you want to serve God, you want to be involved in reaching out and sharing your faith.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a statement Ellen White makes about religion and business are not two separate things, they are one.
Oh, wow.
And that really changed my life to realize, you know, many people feel a calling into ministry, but they're not sure they can preach up front or some type of administrative capability. But I think there's a lot more arenas where we can be in ministry than we often consider.
Yeah. Yeah, we did worship with the elementary kids today, and we sung the song Father God, and it's got a line in there that says, may my steps be worship. And after the song, I'm like, what does that mean? May our steps be worship. And I think, you know, living your life in business or whatever realm you may find yourself serving God, that's worship.
No, absolutely. And in the workplace, you think about it, for some people that work long hours, that could be 60 hours a week in a company, when for a lot of people, their time in their church building or with their church community could be just hours. So yeah, I have a passion for people to really see, you know, what is it God has given me as a talent and a passion? Where do those converge? And how can I use that to bless others?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are some ways that you are engaged and involved in the business world, making that a ministry and helping others to be a part of that as well?
Yeah. So my dad and mom didn't go to college.
Okay.
And so I kind of grew up in a home where it was, you know, hustling, entrepreneurial mindset all the time. So for my dad, it was, you know, if there's a tree down, I'm going to go find a way to offer that person to cut it, make a little money. And he just began with my mom's collaboration all along. They began to do a lot of things. And so my sister and I grew up watching that. And I started to see just the amount of, you know, interaction you can have with people in the business world. Mm-hmm. So long story short, I have a passion to see people start businesses that have a mission at their core. So going into it knowing, hey, we can make money, but what is the mission we're actually going to see happen on a day-to-day basis? So recently I was in the Middle East, and there's some unbelievable things happening in those countries where some of the governments are actually saying, unless you turn a profit within a certain amount of time, we don't think you're here for the right reasons.
Oh, wow.
So we may be suspicious.
Trying to weed out the evangelism, huh?
Exactly. For whatever reason. Yeah. So there's a way we've got to be intentional, you know, Waldensian style, about making successful endeavors into the arena. And right now I have a passion particularly for reaching the secular mind.
Okay.
So
as more and more people are moving towards that mindset of secularism, you know, we talk about the rise of the nuns and people leaving church and maybe not being opposed to it, but just being indifferent towards religion and the things of God.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, there's probably a lot of good reasons they're not in church anymore. Mm-hmm. I've been totally fascinated, you know, just in the last few days, I think it was yesterday, with Elon Musk announcing his plan to go to Mars.
I saw that,
to colonize. So I am totally enamored right now with this idea of, you know, the first few minutes of his keynote yesterday, he says, I think we can go to Mars. And I want to tell you why I think we should go there. And I want to make it seem real to you that we can actually see this happen in our lifetime, in a short amount of time, and colonize another place. And I'm just realizing, you know, the language of that is so heavenly and biblical.
Yeah.
I'm just starting to see such parallels with the biblical message we can take of we've been called that this earth will not be our eternal place, mm-hmm. that we are actually going to colonize somewhere else for a certain amount of time. And another city. I mean, totally the parallels. I felt like I was hearing a preacher as I heard him talk. You know, I'm pretty fascinated right now with this idea of, you know, Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, and Elon Musk with this passion to colonize another place, mm-hmm. putting their billions into it, unselfishly realizing they probably won't be the ones who do it, but their kids would be.
Yeah.
And I just find that so noble in a way. And how do we talk in a sense where people see heavenly things and heavenly realms as real as the way these guys are talking about becoming a multiplanetary species?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like that phrase that they use, the multiplanetary species.
Right.
But yeah, they're visionary. They're casting a vision for something grand and insanely expensive. And maybe we're falling short because we have something even more grand, but we're not casting the vision in the same way.
Yeah.
In an effective way as they are.
Right.
I've read an article recently about ARTV. Tell me about that. What is that?
Yeah. So the Adventist Review was, we like to say, the original startup in the Advent movement. So
definitely.
You know, you've got James White and others who began to say, hey, we have a message to share. Out of that comes the Adventist Church.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really been trying to bring that spirit back of what is the innovation to take, you know, the movement that a lot of people still have a vision in and a faith in. How do you take that to the next level? So ARTV is basically, how do you go after urban millennials? And to let you into a secret I have, it's millennials, I believe, is now a mindset.
Okay.
I no longer think it's a demographic.
It's not an age.
It's what people are starting to realize. Hey, I'm 50, and I think like this millennial you're talking about. So am I a millennial? And I think it can be a mindset. So ARTV is basically going after urban millennials, which is making up the majority of the workforce and the majority of individuals living in cities, and reaching them on the devices they're using in a short format that they can engage with, you know, if they've got 3 minutes here, 2 minutes there. So primarily short. There will be some longer features. So
just
stuff.
As people are, you know, checking out YouTube and Vimeo and whatever, and, you know, looking at cat videos or whatever, you're trying to produce...
Yeah,
put something a little more important into their
to compete with
and their minds.
Cats being bathed in a sink. But no, in all honesty, there's a need in the world to bring faith into the realm of reality.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping this isn't just a channel for Adventists.
Yeah,
that wasn't the original purpose of the Adventist Review. It was a bunch of Advent thinking people of how do we share our faith with people that are like minded and think of the future with hope. So. We're using the terminology of Adventist Plus. You know, how do people with a passion for truth engage with this content? Or how do we as you know, me being a Seventh-day Adventist, how do I share this with people that love and respect me and I can say, hey, this is the way I think about an issue. Take a look. Consider it. You know, I think we need more of those in formats that are beautiful. So, you know, we've made a beginning. There's a ways to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just getting started, right?
Yeah. We've got the platforms. Now let's go out to the content.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have people lined up to produce that, or we have people to produce that?
Yeah, we have some. The way we've been describing it is if the church has been currently reaching or focusing in more of a CNN one-channel format, we're really going after a Netflix mindset.
Okay.
On demand and finding people who are creating content from all walks of life.
Yeah.
And then we'll create some of our own.
Yeah. That's neat.
Yeah.
And where is that found? Where can people locate that?
Yeah. So in the iOS store or Android devices, they can look up ARTV or AR-TV.
So there's an app for it.
Yeah, there's an
app. Okay. I was thinking it was just like a website.
Yeah. So. The website could be artv.adventistreview.org. The best viewing experience, in my opinion, is on Apple TV.
Okay.
So we've got an Apple TV channel.
Oh, wow.
App,
yeah.
And it's pretty sweet.
That's neat.
Yeah,
that's even bigger than I thought it was good.
Yeah,
than I thought it was. So.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Now I know you've also in the past been involved in some foreign missions to Haiti and so forth. Is that still something that you're involved in?
Yeah, yeah. My dad and my good friend Jonathan started a work in Haiti right after the earthquake, and the thought was, how do we take a lot of these young men that around 13 are asked to leave the orphanages and really aren't trained to be a blessing in society?
Yeah.
So they began to say, hey, we're going to need land so these students could learn with their hands, teach them how to be leaders in society. And so, yeah, there's about a 30-acre farm, about 3.5 hours north of Port-au-Prince,
wow,
being developed with buildings. A lot of groups, Loma Linda and other schools, have come down there to help build it out, do clinics. And that's going to be a pretty exciting thing. I'm pretty stoked about it. So, yeah, if anybody has a passion to go down there and get their hands in it.
So that's been going about 8 years or?
Yeah, I don't know how long since that is.
I forget how long it's been.
Yeah, yeah, at least 4 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see that you are a man of many passions. So how are you able to stay focused with these different interests, these different things going on? How are you able to make sure that in your personal life and in your mission life and in your spiritual life, you're able to stay focused on what is most important?
That's a good thing, a good question. I'm learning that. I'm not good at it yet because I do like to stay busy.
Yeah.
I do like to see people get engaged in things they're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an addiction to starting things.
Okay.
Especially if someone comes to me and says, hey, I've got this passion, but I need some help.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a drug for me. It's like, oh, how can I help?
Uh-huh.
So, but what is the balance? You know, that's a tricky spot because it's easy to overwork. I went to India a number of years ago, got sick, thought I had, they tested me for leprosy, AIDS, cancer, heart disease.
Oh, wow.
It was the worst experience of my life. And ended up 7 years after that, they found a parasite.
Hmm.
And through that time, there were moments when I didn't know if I'd live.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, what really matters in life. And so for me lately, I've been obsessed with the study of fruit in Scripture.
Okay.
And in the writings of Ellen White, basically that God has called us to fruit bearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he sees this fig tree with all these leaves, he's inspecting it. And he's saying, you know, where's the fruit in this?
Oh,
all this talk and all this pretension. And I think it's been easy in my life to fall into that trap of doing lots of activity, but does it actually bear fruit?
Yeah.
Or, you know, with a lot of the outreach activities or a lot of the things we do and call it ministry, you know, I think we really need to ask people, is this bearing fruit? Is it making people have more love, more joy, more peace, more kindness?
Or is it just a good show? It makes us look
yeah.
good. It makes our church look good, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's an easy trap to fall
yeah.
into.
I like that analogy because, you know, we can't bear fruit unless we're connected to the vine.
That's
know?
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I'm convicted on that more and more.
And yeah. when Jesus saw the fig tree that was not bearing fruit, he was not happy with
it. He was not happy with it.
Spoke harshly to it, right? And it stopped living at all.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, there's a statement in John 15:8. Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit.
Hmm.
And there's another one, Isaiah 27:6, that Israel will blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit.
Yeah.
And so I've really started to see glory and fruit are like interchangeable words.
Hmm.
And the world is in desperate need of seeing the fruit of the Christian life.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I don't think they see it. And it may be because we're not even experiencing
yeah.
it. Yeah. So.
And you talked about the millennial mindset, the secular mindset. Many of them may not see the benefit of the Christian life because they're not seeing the fruit in the people they know that are claiming to be Christians.
That's right. And the fruit is addictive. The fruit
yeah.
tastes good. When people see it and want it, they'll be asking, how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can introduce them to the vine,
yeah.
the source of the fruit.
Yeah. I really like that analogy. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's been a blessing in my life.
Yeah.
Still wrestling it through.
So as a businessman, a church member, a layperson, visionary, looking to travel to the stars, looking to you know, have new ways to share the old message through a digital medium and so forth, going to the ends of the world, you know, all really big things. What can somebody do right now in their life to make a difference, to tell somebody about Jesus? What's one word of wisdom that you could share with somebody?
So tagging on to that idea of fruit, I'm really convicted lately that if fruit is something that is visible, we should be able to go to our neighbors and ask them, am I bearing fruit?
Mm-hmm.
Have you witnessed it in my life? And so what can we do? I think it's really this honest assessment. You know, the idea of the Laodicean letter, love letter from
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we can't quite come to the truth of where we're at.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times that comes from community. So really, you know, going to a friend, a pastor, a spouse, your kids, your parents, whatever it may be, and saying, hey, you know, give me your thoughts, give me your input on where I'm at. You know, sometimes it takes somebody else to say, you know what, you're not often patient when people I see. So I think there's this interaction. A lot of times it's, you know, we don't know where we're needing the Lord at times, and we need others to, I think, encourage us on that way. So, you know, the big thing for me is asking the Lord to open our eyes to what our true condition is.
Yeah.
Sometimes that takes friends encouraging us. And then I think it's where he begins to show us where our talents and passions are,
mm-hmm.
and where those intersect. And then having our friends confirm that.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I have a passion for this. Do you think this is where I should head? And really understanding where our passion lies, it may allow us more often to align with where the Lord is calling us rather than sometimes where we may think we're good.
Yeah.
You know, and really being honest, bringing candor into that.
Because we don't always like honesty. We don't want to ask somebody, what do you think about us? Because if they tell us, we may not like what they're saying.
It's true.
We may not like the response that we get.
But it gets us to our end goal much faster if we know
it certainly does.
The truth of it.
So all this talk about fruit, let me ask you, what is your favorite type of fruit? What to eat? What do you like to eat?
I am a new fan of Rainier cherries.
Okay.
I was so angry this summer.
I've had those.
Oh, cherries in general. I'm a new fan of cherries. Are delicious. Mangoes, I'm not a fan of mangoes. My wife being Cuban, she loves mangoes.
Okay.
But no, I'm a new fan of cherries, and when they went out of season, I thought I was going to not live any longer.
I'm sure that even if they have them somewhere in the world you can get them, they wouldn't be as good as when they're freshly in.
But if you know where, I would like to go find them.
I really appreciate grapefruits, so I'm glad that citrus season is soon back upon us.
Amen.
As we record this. So let me ask you just how to get in touch with some of these things. We talked about ARTV. In the App Store. Is there any other, you know, websites or ways that people could learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, well, Twitter, you know, Thurman, Thurmon on Twitter. Anybody who needs any help, wants any help, I'd love to help you.
Okay.
But Fruition Lab, that's another event. We held one this summer.
Oh, yeah, I remember
seeing
it.
We're going to hold one in Berrien, October 23, Berrien Springs. So
October 23?
It's on a Sunday.
So that's coming up pretty soon.
It is.
Explain what is that Fruition Lab? It's got the word fruit in it,
yeah,
so there must be a connection.
It's basically bringing innovators and particularly Adventist entrepreneurs together.
Mm-hmm. So business people.
Yeah, or people with a passion for it.
Okay.
How do I do this better? Or I want to start something. And bringing them together, learning from people who've had success and taking it to the next level. So one of the guys that was out in Phoenix was the one of the co-founders of Oakley, who's now the VP at Red Camera.
Okay.
And so it's hearing from people with an Adventist mindset who are doing well in the business world and finding ways to, you know, take your idea to the next level.
Yeah. So that's Berrien Springs, October 23, the day after the Great Disappointment.
It is.
So that's a good thing you didn't go one day earlier.
Yeah.
And fruitionlab.org,
I think.
.org.
Maybe .com soon.
One of those.
Org,
Okay.
But there's a lot of stuff going on. We've got a new health app coming out this fall. GetTheNewLife.com. It's going to be an awesome app teaching people. It'll allow people to be their own health coach.
Oh, wow.
Create an assessment, and it creates their own program. So it reminds them, all right, you wanted to be reminded to drink water now. You wanted to be reminded to go to bed now. So we've been working on that for many years with the Beehive. So that's something that the New Life Challenge is what that's based around. We're stoked about that.
All right.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned another word that I remember, the Beehive.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, how to engage people in the cities. Ellen White had a vision of church members like bees of a beehive. Everybody's got a talent, and the synergy comes when we're finding what are each other's talents and how do we work together and collaborate in those. So we started some juice bars in Atlanta a few years ago, Press Together.
Uh-huh.
They're still operating. Jason Churchill runs those. And through them, it's allowed people to do health education, and I have a passion for the cities. That's where people are.
Yeah, that's where the most people are. It's beautiful here in Northwest Georgia, but there's not as many people as there are in Atlanta or Chattanooga or Chicago or New York.
It's true.
So, all right, so we've got ARTV, we've got Thurman on Twitter, we've got fruitionlab.org. Any other means of contact?
That's probably enough.
Okay. I think that Jared is tired because he's running and doing lots of things. So I really appreciate you taking the time and coming to interview and share with us a little bit of your passion. And I hope that, each of us will be able to look and see what our passion is, whether we're sharing with each other, encouraging one another, building each other up. We can find the place and the way that we can best reach someone else for Jesus.
Amen.
So remember, we want to tell the world about Jesus, and you can help. Please remember, if you have any comments or questions, you can send them to equippodcast@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at equippodcast.wordpress.com. Thank you for your time.